And now is the time to do this because we touched a little bit on this with the 4G. Now we're having the 5G. And I don't think what most people, I don't think they realize that the two are actually going together. When they put the towers up, there's a 4G and then there's 5Gs all around it. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the 4G has a longer distance it can travel and it can travel through objects, whereas the 5G can only travel a shorter distance because of that higher frequency. And it doesn't do such a good job of going through things, which is why they want to put them closer together. But now your 4G antenna that's maybe a mile away now is going to be much closer because it's going to be attached to those 5Gs. So we're going to be bombarded from the 4G and the 5G. Mm-hmm. One is going to be more continuous. One is more activated, seeking out like a thing like a cell phone. So it has that more pulsed effect, correct?
It could be. It could be.
I mean, I know I'm probably simplifying this.
No, but you're hitting the right things. And I wanted to just comment when you finished about one of the things.
Great. And so my point being that what used to be a mile away now is going to be coming closer, even for those people outlying. But in a city situation, the concentration isn't going to increase greatly. So we have got to make our homes be our sanctuaries. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is to take some of these protective measures, at least in our sleeping environment.
Yes.
And that way we have that chance of restoration, which I want to get back to for you. And especially in regards to babies, I want to talk about baby monitors.
I have a quick question.
Dr. Toxel has a question.
Well, no, and that's your explanation. So 4G can go pass through objects, and I know that has to do with the amount of energy. So can 5G pass through objects? And I guess this ties into what we're about to discuss. Why is 5G considered harmful or more and more considered potentially harmful?
So yeah, that concept is the right concept. But it's because it releases energy.
Mm.
The more energy that you have, I shouldn't say it like that. So me as a human, I'm going to talk now as a biological body in between the path of these waves. So these waves, 4G, 3G, they're big waves. So they can go through you easily. I will polarize them. I will absorb some of the energy that they have, but I will not absorb all the energy from them. The shorter the wave, the more energy that you have. So the energy that releases when it goes through the same body, it will be bigger. At the end of the day, I'm going to keep almost all the energy that they have. So that is how is more harmful for humans, because it touches my body and it releases way more energy. So I was talking with an engineer and he was telling me, oh yeah, they have this problem. But he was saying, imagine that I have a 5G tower right there and I have my phone in here. So there's a direct path between the cell phone and the tower. There's nothing in between.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem that we see, he says, is whenever you put the cell phone on the other side, now you have the head in between the cell phone antenna and the cell phone, which means is that my head is absorbing almost all the signal in a way that it cannot reach the phone. Hmm. So they start having all those problems right now. At the end of the day, from the point of view of a medical doctor, it's terrible that all the energy is being absorbed by one entity. So foliage, trees, for them are devastating versus 4G. Trees. they polarize the signal, but the signal still goes through. It's bad for the trees, not exactly for the trees, because we're different biological beings. They protect us, actually. They're good. They're grounded, and they protect us. But at the end of the day, it's not good for them, but it goes through when this one releases more energy in my body. So now imagine, we're starting to get really sick. What are the main causes of problems in this world right now? Cardiovascular problems, which it has an electric point in the air. Neurological problems, whether are mental or they're neurologically, mm-hmm. or and immunological problems. So three main organs that are activated by electric and magnetic fields from our cells. Let me just say this. I didn't think that I mentioned it this way. The difference between being alive and being functional is the ability that my neurons have to send the right message. In order to send the right message, they need the right amount of voltage. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about my brain, we have some biorhythm cells in the brain. They dictate how much voltage, where they send it, how, through where, etc.
So you're talking about electrical power.
Yeah.
And the brain, I think it's like 80 hertz, isn't it? Something like that.
Well, it depends.
Or is it 40 to 80?
It depends. Yeah. That is the beauty about the body. That is not exact same thing. So you can actually use very different variables to give very different messages. That is the beauty about the human
right.
body.
Exactly. And this brain power or electrical signal, if we want to liken it to, I mean, we are electric.
Yeah, we're electric.
The body is electric. And if you're not able to produce those signals in your body, then the brain controls everything in the body. And so it's not going to be able to happen.
For parents, I'm going to give an example that is not the best example, probably, but it's part of whatever how I learn it. Being a pediatric neurologist, part of my job, it was to check if somebody is brain dead or not. So the neurologist is the only one who can certify if somebody is brain dead or not. So three times in my life, I was asked to go to the intensive care unit to diagnose if that is the case. At the end of the day, whatever I do is I take away some medications that can be sedatives, etc. But whatever I have to do is I have to explore every single nerve in the human body to see if I have a response to that. At the end of the day, that is electric responses. The difference between being alive and being dead is electricity. The difference between 100% healthy and have some chronic issues, etc., is the amount of electricity that we, the perfection of that electricity that we produce.
Right.
I
get that, the optimal versus
right.
I'm just barely surviving. Yes, you can call me alive, but I'm not really doing anything, to being a functioning human being out living a purposeful life, doing what we're supposed to be doing here.
And one thing that I did understand by being a neurologist is that when you have a disturbance in the electric system, there's no pills that I can give you that can restore that. But I can take away the exposure, make the best environment so you can restore, and probably we can overcome that illness that they have. So at the end of the day, I switch a little bit my career, I did it because I was convinced that whatever I was doing before, it wasn't exactly the right thing. Using pharmaceuticals as my only tool, it taught me that it is not the right way. I have to go to the root causes of the problems. And if the root causes of the problem is an electric toxin, I need to find it and right away of that.
Well, you won't hear any argument from us.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
Because we're tying this back into developing brains.
Yeah,
so this effect of absorbing more of this 5G energy, we absorb more of it. So what would this extra exposure of energy do to a brain that doesn't have, that is essentially highly growing during the first, year of life? And so those electrical synapses, the communications between the brain, the body, all the nerves are rapid firing. So what would this extra energy be doing to that development? Yeah. Or is there any exploration of that or knowledge of that right now?
Yeah, there is.
And expand on that, Dr. Ritter, with some of what babies are being exposed to, either in utero or after they come out, some of these exposures. So just to kind of tie all that in.
Yeah. So you were mentioning before baby monitors. Oh, if I measure a baby monitor in front of a mom, she just take it away. It's so loud and devastating when I use the meters. But at the end of the day, you're right. So a newborn is a very fragile human. And it's a human that is not 100% developed. Let's say all the synapses are not 100% there yet. Let me try to say it like that. When is in our lives when we sleep the most? When we're newborns and when we're teenagers. The reason is because we're developing faster. We're growing and developing faster, which means that we're going to have a little bit more wear out of enzymes, etc. At the end of the day, we need more repair. So what happened when all these very fragile neurons try to create new synapses? Well, again, the synapses, this synaptogenesis pattern, which means how they connect to another neurons, it is triggered by our own electric impulses. When you have another, like we were talking about, toxin, given the wrong message, we can have wrong synapses. So that's what the thing that I was seeing with this autism spectrum. Autism is not just one thing. At the end of the day, it's a human brain that is not doing exactly what it's supposed to, that is not 100% functional in all the variables that we can expose them to. I'm going to show, and that's what I was saying before, the EEGs. When I show one EEG that is completely normal, you don't need to be a neurologist to see, oh, yeah, it's beautiful because there's patterns in there. It's symmetrical. When you see the EEG of one baby that has been exposed to a lot of toxins, of course, my main one is electromagnetic fields, but you see the chaos in there. Chaos, again, you don't need to be a neurologist to understand that doesn't look good. And at the end of the day, whatever is doing this exposure that you were mentioning is having effects in a lot of different parts of the developing, not just in one. So how do we produce neurotransmitters? Well, it's dictated by those biorhythm cells. How we create these synapses. Those things happen at the same time. And those things happen, these two things can be disturbed at the same time as well. It could be permanent or it could be just temporary, just dysfunction. At the end of the day, whatever we have to do is we have to try to expose less during the day, during the night, and try to prevail so they can restore the most possible. Again, when a newborn is sleeping, let me go back really quick and say, back in those days, we thought that when we were sleeping, we were just wasting our time. Because right now, we're awake and we're just multitasking. I can move my leg and I can talk and I can think, etc. I'm doing a lot of things. When we're asleep, we only sleep. So we're just wasting our time. No, we were wrong 100%. You're doing a bigger job that you need 100% of your energy focuses on restoration. So when a little baby is sleeping, it's doing an immense task of repairing his DNA, repairing the enzymes that they have. So the environment should be an environment that it doesn't disturb that complex biochemical job that is doing inside of the body. I hope that I explain a little bit.
So from what I understand, when you introduce that much energy into a developing brain, you have the normal synaptic process, aka the actual process of generating neurons, because a developing brain is essentially growing those nerve cells, forming those neurotransmitter connections. But the 5G interferes with that in terms of forming the wrong connections, or maybe not complete connections, or something gets, the communication gets distorted. And then the other point that I'm understanding is it has a really, really big effect on sleep, which we do know. And I totally agree with you that sleeping is actually so, so important again. And it doesn't, that cellular repair and that repair of DNA and that recuperation of the enzymes in your cells, it's important throughout your whole life. Yeah. And so my question then would be because you're really looking at the EEGs, do you notice that the 5G waves have a certain effect on certain brain waves?
Well, let me say one thing. And we still don't have 5G as a 20 to 40 gigahertz broadcast. Mm. We still don't have it. Whatever we have is 5 gigahertz on Wi-Fi's. Mm-hmm. So we still don't have that, even if you see commercials on TV and we do have the best 5G, they still don't broadcast at those frequencies yet. And even if you see antennas in there, I've been trying to measure antennas and things like that. And at the end of the day, I haven't found yet these frequencies being broadcast. But at the end of the day, whatever we have measured in the past, in the logical thinking of physics theory will say that, at the end of the day, you will have more radiation creating more disturbances in the body. Now, again, a lot of people are focusing on 5G, but I'm not sure if that is the right thing to tell parents, because they should be worried of the things that we have right now as well. I mean, let's prevent. We know that they are saying, hey, we're going to put a lot of satellites out there broadcasting frequencies to hear. I'm not sure, because there's no way that I can prove it, that they already have 15,000 satellites out there. But we need to prevent if that happens. How am I going to shield a house that has all these new things? That is my job. That is why I need to keep understanding physics, etc., so I can give good responses. But whatever we have today is exposure that is doing the exact same effects that you were describing. Just because one is 4G or 3G, it doesn't mean that, that doesn't matter. No, it does. Mm-hmm. And it's causing a lot of problems right now. Like I was saying before, I started noticing these things 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So imagine 20, and I want to say this before that I mentioned another thing, but 20 years ago, I didn't know anything about this. The reality is that nobody explained me anything. It was just observation with my patients and just a little bit of curiosity. Hey, oh my goodness, whatever my teacher told me, it was wrong because I'm reading this and going that path. It turns out that since 1957, so this is way, way before that I was even born, biological effects of electromagnetic radiation was explained perfectly well with equations and in graphics, etc., by Dr. Schwann. Let me tell you that once that I started digging very deep, I was already studying physics, etc., I find out a book, a manual that it says biological effects of electromagnetic radiation. And one chapter, it was by Dr. Schwann, dated in 1953, actually, it was. And he described all the questions that I had. Is neuron absorbing radiation? And he shows all the formulas, how you can verify that happened. I was very, very upset with all my teachers, my neurology teachers, because how's possible that they're forming me as a neurologist and they forgot to mention these key things? Well, the thing is that they didn't know. And the thing is that they just do whatever everybody else does.
I attribute it to the same way that x-rays were discovered. It's not that x-rays don't have their place. It's the fact that, you know, he discovered this new thing, but his long-term exposures and his multiple exposures ended up killing him. And that's not to say that we can't use x-rays in a safe and effective way, but as you said, we know to shield people, have less exposure. We know that there shouldn't be certain exposures for certain types of people. And so why would this be any different?
They used to x-ray pregnant women.
I know.
And they used to have x-rays for feet, for shoes.
I know.
Well, and so what I'm taking from your explanation, because I'm hearing so much about 5G and you're saying like, well, we don't actually have it broadcasting yet.
They haven't done any studies on 5G and they don't plan on doing any studies, but there are studies going back. There was actually, I can't remember the name of it, but the big study they did, you probably know what I'm talking about. And of course I don't have it in front of me, but they actually
have a lot of studies.
It's from the 80s, I think, but it was a large study that was even commissioned to be done. And they came up with certain results that now they're just sort of pushing to the side and forgetting that they even talked about this or had this study done.
You know, sadly, we have a lot of things that are doing in the wrong way as well. Again, part of my job is to read every paper. I don't read papers that has a lot of opinions like, oh yeah, electromagnetic radiation causes this.
Right.
Those things are opinions that I'm going to sound really bad, but I'm really not interested in that.
Well, prove your opinion.
I'm sorry.
But not only that, Dr. Carlos, but they're doing these studies in mice and animals, and you go, okay,
whatever I'm interested is in studies that show you one specific thing. Let me just say one. Hydrogen is one atom, right? What happened when we expose one hydrogen to electromagnetic fields? That is important information because that will happen every single time. Mm-hmm. It's replicable. So if I read those kind of studies and then I ask, hey, how many grams of hydrogen do you have in your body? Oh, depends on your weight and depends on your age. Probably you have 70 grams. Then I know what EMFs are doing to the hydrogen that you have. Where do you have more hydrogen, et cetera? Kind of like that. Yeah. At the end of the day,
that makes sense. Yeah.
The studies that I'm interested about is the ones that give you information like that. Opinions, I really don't care because I care about the law. the law of physics. If the law of physics tells me this, then I can use my criteria to know what would happen. If the opinion of one guy is right, differs from the other one, that is not exactly. I don't care even about my opinion. I care about.
You're also your clinical judgment. When you saw there were issues with the children and then you said you would do one thing, one remediation, I don't know if you got them to turn off the Wi-Fi or do shielding. Yeah. And then you see those differences and you go, okay, I may not quite understand yet what's going on, but I can see that this is having a physiologic effect, a biologic effect, a neurologic effect. And especially you said you were dealing with children with epilepsy and autism, and we know there's a neurologic component there.
Yeah.
So it just, begs to reason that these things are having an effect. And that's where that sort of common sense aspect comes in and that clinical judgment comes in that I know that brain because the same thing happens with me. So I want to talk a little bit about those remediation.
Okay.
Actually, first beforehand, what are the biggest, well, this ties into your remediation. It does.
Well, maybe I was going to say it. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is, yes, we need you to come in and help us with our houses. And
yeah, don't worry.
Like I said, either I want you to come here or train my husband so he can do it.
Perfect.
And then help others out here so you don't have to keep flying back and forth. But, you know, for sure, making our home our safe place. But just some things that people can do right away to try and minimize their exposure, not only for themselves, but their children. And this kind of ties into to the bigger thing. Oh my gosh. I mean, we could go down rabbit holes with this, but now people are spending more time on their electronic devices.
Well, that's where I tied in. I actually just wanted to ask Dr. Carlos, what are the most common sources of high EMF that you see children exposed to? So that's where it kind of connected.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you mentioned baby monitors earlier. Yes. So what else?
Baby monitors are so powerful. And let me tell you one story about one of my clients. So she wasn't actually talking to me. She was talking to my business partner. And my business partner was saying, oh, baby monitors are terrible. And she was saying, you know what? I'm never going to leave the baby monitor because that's how I have sanity, because I know where my kid is. They have the camera baby monitor where they can hear and see the baby. So she was just saying that, and I was just listening. Okay, I didn't say anything. So I brought one meter another day when I was with her, and I just turned on the meter with the baby monitor, and the noise, it was terrible. So I told her, unplug the baby monitor, and my meter just went silent. And I said, turn it on again, and the meter was terrible. Turn it off again. So she did it. And then she threw it away. So the thing is that she had to see it, because the benefit that she had before, it was a benefit that she needed, but she didn't know the side effect. So when she saw what it was coming through the meter, she just decided, I didn't have to say anything, throw it away or unplug it. Right. She knew what to do. Kind of like that. The biggest sources sometimes are from outside of the house. And I'm going to say this. Even if I have one antenna, imagine this is not an antenna, but I have a device in here. Okay, I do. Here. So if I have this device and this one is producing radiation, I have it really close to me. But whatever I have to ask is how much power input and power radiated this have. I'm just going to say a number. Maybe it has 2 watts per square meter. It's a lot. But if I have a cell phone antenna that produces more than 1,000 watts, that one is the most important thing. Of course, it's not right and close to my head. But whatever we have to balance is whatever I can do inside of my house is easy. If I have a router, I can unplug it at night. Do I really need it at night? If the answer is no, unplug it? If the answer is yes, well, let's try to put it as far away of the people who are sleeping. At the end of the day, the more distance that you can have and the less devices that you can have around your body when you're sleeping, people said, hey, I need my cell phone right here when I sleep because the alarm. Well, do you know that you can put the cell phone in airplane mode and have the alarm on? Or if you really need the cell phone, put it in the bathroom as far away as you can. I don't have a cell phones on in my house. My teenagers, they know perfectly well. So, but if we need to have one, instead of having five on at the same time, we only keep one. And if somebody has to call us, they know that they have to call us to this number. Mm. At the end of the day, the least amount of devices that has antennas, the better for the environment of the house. So one thing that I do is I unplug things. Do we really need to have the blender plug in 24 hours a day? No, we don't. Would it kill you to plug it in every time that you're going to use it? No, it won't kill me. So that kind of mentality.
Oh my gosh. I'm so guilty.
That kind of mentality. I mean, we didn't talk about dirty electricity, transient response, but every electronic that you plug in into the load of the electric system, it will create a disturbance, dirty electricity. At the end of the day, we divided it in three: low frequencies, dirty electricity, and high frequencies. All those three things at the same time create different biological effects. And if I have 2,000 microvolts per square meter of high frequencies, and I can do something, unplug things, turn off devices to lower the exposure from 2,000 to 600, that's a gain for us. Now, of course, If I try to protect my babies, and I do, I mean, I'm really crazy about my kids. And let me say one thing. Some friend of my kids' friends, they invite my kids to go to sleepovers, right? So especially my daughter. So I talk to the parents. Hey, I'm this crazy guy. Can I measure your house? And every time that Isabella's my daughter, comes here, can we do this and this and this?
Can I paint the bedroom?
Yeah. So I make a lot of friends like that. But but they start understanding. They see the care that I have for my kids. Of course, my kids are my life. And all my knowledge is to protect my babies, right? So whatever I can do to expose less the bodies of my kids, I'll do it.
So I'm hearing unplug as much as you can.
Yes.
Turn your devices off or put them in airplane mode. I even go one step further. I don't know how you feel about these things. Let me see if I do have it. I'm making noise. This is a Faraday bag.
Yeah. I mean,
my phone, and I have one for my laptop.
I use one. Things, the details vary a lot. The details are very important. In the past, we have those pouches with silver fabric, but now cell phones are extremely more powerful than before. So not necessarily all the pouches are helpful.
That's right. I did my research. I did my due diligence, so I can let
perfect. You know perfect.
What I got.
New devices are being developed now, and the new one that is coming. I'm not sure exactly when it's coming. I was asked to review the physics behind some. It's some sheets that it can reflect and absorb radiation at the same time. So one thing that they probably are going to have, I don't know if I should say it right now, but you put your cell phone close to the window and you put the cell phone in between the sheet and I'm not explaining it right. So you put this the sheet in between your house or the space that you want to protect close to the window. And the radiation from the cell phone is getting out of the window, mm-hmm. not inside. You can hear the cell phone if it's ringing, but the radiation is not leaking inside of the house.
Yeah, it makes
sense. Things like that. At the end of the day, new technology to shield things is being developed right now.
I have a question for you. Yeah. I heard about a technology. I can't remember where I heard it, probably during the 5G summit. As you were talking about waves, so you have the EMF waves, right? Mm-hmm. That there's a technology that can kind of cancel out those waves. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Familiar? Do you know anything about that?
Oh, yeah, I do. I really don't like to talk bad about anything, but I don't like those ones.
Can you explain why?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, whatever they do is they trick the meter. Remember what I was saying about the waves canceling each other?
Right.
The only way that we can measure still is with meters. So I can show you, hey, before that I plug in this, the radiation was 10. Now I plug it in and my meter says 3. Wait a second. It doesn't mean that we don't have radiation. Whatever it means, it is canceling each other in a way that my meter cannot read it. Canceling each other for the meter, not for my body, because now I have the exposure of both at the, you know?
Well, this is why I was asking you, because it sounds good in theory.
Yeah.
But like you said, sure, it is canceling it out for the meter.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what we want. We want to cancel out for our body.
That's right. I'm trying to invite everybody that is around this area. Why don't we do it in the right way? And again, physics is the right way. I know that not everybody is going to go through med school and then physics. But
I went through chiropractic college, and I'll leave all the physics to you. Definitely not my forte.
But you know, at the end of the day, whatever we can do is we can partner. I did went through that, and I do know a few things about physics. I'm trying to put more physicists together so we can actually teach. You don't have to go through physics, but I can tell you. This is what you need to know about physics so you can make sense in your practice. So bring it digested to everybody. But at the end of the day, we really have to remember physics is the one thing that dictates how things are done, because that's the law, the rule of six.
So a couple of other things really that became evident to me as I really have started to open up my awareness to EMFs in general are that I didn't put two and two together with things like cordless phones.
Yeah.
Wireless keyboards.
Yeah.
Bluetooth devices.
Yeah.
Can you just talk a little bit about that? Because after you learn it, you go, duh, but...
I know. Yeah. So this obsession that we have to have everything wireless is not the best for humans. I have to say it like that. We have zero tolerance to radiation. But the more and more and more exposure that we have, the worse for us. So another thing that I do every time that I go measure houses, and I hope that nobody takes it in the wrong way. So they have these earbuds that are wireless. AirPods. I don't remember the name.
Yeah, exactly. AirPods.
Yeah. So whatever I do is they are in a case. And I tell them, close the case. And I get my meter, open the case, and the meter goes nuts. Again, until they see it and they hear the terrible noise mimicking the radiation coming from there, is when they understand, oh, yeah. So the reason why they don't have a cable is because it's broadcasting a signal and it gets the information from one place to another. Yeah. So... yeah, this obsession that we have that everything has to be wireless is something that we have to break. especially if you have kids in your house. If you have kids in your house, the commodity of having wireless thing is not the best for your kids. Why don't we plan before? Hey, where the TV is going to be? The TV is going to be there. Well, let's make everything possible so we don't have ugly cables, but we have all the communication, the right wiring, so you can have it. So you don't get deprived of technology, but you don't expose your family as much.
Absolutely. And that's, I found out as my husband is actually doing wiring for houses.
Okay.
He hardwires their house. They don't even know it until they mention they want to hardwire because of this issue. And he's like, yeah, I already did that.
It's already there.
So he's already created that situation. Do you have any suggestions for people who don't own their own home?
Yeah.
And they want to hardwire, but obviously they're not going to want to go through that expense, or they can't.
So whatever I did before I got all crazy in my house is I did run wires around the walls. So I guess that whenever you don't own a house, you don't want to make holes everywhere. But if you put them around in the corners of the in the walls and cover with the plywood that you paint exactly the same as the same color of the wall, you don't see the cables. You know what I'm trying to say? At the end of the day, I was trying to get creative in a way that we're going to have the cables and we don't want to see all the ugliness of that. So painting boards and things like that, it was the way to hire it. Putting underneath the carpet, so and we have a little bump in the carpet. But at the end of the day, if you're going to move out of that house, you don't need to make holes in there. So hardwiring is one of the things. Measuring is very important because, let me tell you, behind me, I do have a bed canopy against EMFs. But this bed canopy is not that strong if it's the only layer that I have of protection. It's dangerous if I have a lot of pulses and they get trapped. Luckily, in my house, my walls are shielded. Mm-hmm. I have two layers of protection, my walls and my canopy, because I do want to sleep with zero radiation. It's impossible, zero, but eight, let's say like that. Mm-hmm. Because I do value the health of my family, I do invest in things like that. Now, if you don't own the house, the best thing is to know exactly what is the situation. I have this experience, and it happened more times than not. I measured the house, and they have in mind, you know what, I'm going to build my own house anyways, so I'm going to build it right now, sooner than later, or I'm going to move out of this area. Measuring the house is the one thing that gives us the opportunity to take decisions. Am I going to rent this house for more than 10 years? Maybe I do want to shield the house.
Right.
If I'm going to rent it for three more months.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, all those situations definitely have to be in play for sure. Yeah. Any last words for your best advice for parents out there? Either they're thinking of having a child, or they're pregnant, or they have a newborn or a very young baby. Yeah. Any advice for how we can live safely with this technology? Yeah. We know that we should be getting someone, you preferably, because I mean, there is no, here's
the I problem. Know.
There's no certification.
Yeah.
Somebody coming in, looking at your home for potential issues.
Yeah.
Problem is that they don't have a medical degree like you do. They haven't gotten training in physics like you have. So how do
I'm trying to put protocols so we can follow. Believe me that we're working really hard to do that.
We need
to multiply those protocols. But it's been hard. And with this pandemic, everything went south. So
this is the time now, actually, for people.
Yeah,
they are at home. They really do need this.
Yeah, to learn.
But given all that, given the fact that we know that people should be checking what's in their home. Number one. Number two, they should be having you come out and remediate someone that you train.
If you need to contact their. Calling below on how to contact.
And we'll put that in the notes as well.
Yes.
So we know that we have to worry about what's outside as well. But like I said, any other things that people can help not to minimize their exposure for things that they can do like today.
I guess the first advice that I want to give parents is, first off, don't be scared of this in a way that you get paralyzed. Be aware so you can take decisions. Don't be scared, because being scared is going to lead you to two things. One, you're not going to want it to know, and that is not the right thing. Or two, you're going to get overwhelmed and you're going to get mad to this to this subject. There's people that, that actually doesn't happen.
Or just I give up. It's going to be I give up.
So don't be scared. But remember that most of the parents, we're the ones that take care of the health of our kids. And we wanted to provide, as showing the love that we have for our families, we want the best for them. Learn about this subject. We don't live in 1700s when electricity didn't exist. We live in 2020 when we have a lot of wireless technology, a lot of cell phones, and a lot of electricity. So that is the reality where we live. It does have an effect in humans, but try to learn as much as possible as parent and try to teach. It took me a while, but let me say one thing that I did. My wife, we were used to, before that I knew this, we were used to use the microwave oven. And that's how we heat things. One day I want to talk about how microwave oven actually heat things. It's very interesting that. But once that I started being aware, kind of scared, I told my wife. And of course she forgets, right? And she was like, yeah, whatever. So I put a sign inside of the microwave oven, and I put in there, "Don't use me, radiation." And every time that she was opening, that's right. We learn how to cook again with gas, with propane, natural gas, and we do it really fast, etc. Mm-hmm. But we start changing our lives. Knowing exactly where was the dangers of all these new technology devices, etc. This new era. At the end of the day, little by little, they need to get the power to control whatever our kids have, etc. Like I was saying, my kids are teenagers. They do want Snapchat or all those apps. Whatever I did is I put cables and I bought these adapters. So use it as much as you want with the cable. Mm-hmm. I know that you're not getting radiated and you're happy because you're talking to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
So there's ways to go around to have the technology that we want in a safer way. So that would be my first advice to parents. Don't be afraid to learn this new thing. Could be overwhelmed, but you're the only one. Unfortunately, nobody else is going to take care of the exposure of your family.
No, absolutely. We're the gatekeepers from ordering in.
Yes.
And it's worth the effort. It's worth time. It's worth the energy, because this isn't going away.
Yeah,
and
it's getting worse.
More likely than not going to get worse. And so, it is definitely a thing. And that's why we're here, because this is actual factual information. It's not conjecture. It's not supposition. It's about real information to make real decisions.
Yeah.
Anything that you want to add, Dr. Toxel?
Well, aside from the fact that we definitely have to have you back on in the future to talk.
Thank you so much.
Well, especially as more and more things are changing. I mean, technology is rapid fire at this point. Yeah. Our tomorrow might look very different from what is happening today. That's how fast it's going and how, but at the same time, it's good to have people. Like, the thing that I appreciate about you is that you're actually looking at the physics of it, the actual laws, because although I'm not good at physics, I do follow the rule of physics where I'm like, you need to be able to prove it through this in order for me to have faith in this.
Yeah.
So I understand how to read it. I just cannot do a quick like you can, and I'm not going to.
It took me a while to do it.
Right. But, you know, so having people like you, and then hopefully in the future, more and more people are going to be interested in training under you because, you know, just like we have moderators with all these other things, and, you know, I'll just mention there are agencies in place to look and monitor things like food or what we put in our bodies, like the FDA. There needs to be some sort of understanding that these are things that are going through our body. They should be looked at and make sure that they're safe, and such as with the metering with you. So, but that isn't being done, and that is not being done every time a tower goes up. So hopefully, you know, with your help, more and more people will become aware of this. And in the future, there might be a committee going like, this is going to be put up in this area unless all of these houses are checked and then have this, this, and this.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well,
I guess that if, again, you invite me again, the next time I would love to show those EEGs. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying, you don't need to be a neurologist to compare an EEG that is normal to an EEG that is chaotic from this electromagnetic radiation.
Right.
And the things that I have is I follow my patient so I can show before shielding, after shielding. And that's what I want the parents to see.
Love that too.
We'll definitely set that up.
All right.
Well,
perfect.
Thank you so much. This was such a great conversation.
Yes.
I have learned so much.
And thank you to everybody that did come to the live. Did see some viewers popping in and out. So we want to thank you so much for tuning into this really important one. This will be also reposted. So even anybody who did miss the live, they will be able to see this and gain knowledge and wisdom from you.
Absolutely. Well,
thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And we'll definitely be, if people want to contact you, it's emfnights.net.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.